My name is Jody Hickerson, and I am one of the teaching pastors around this place, and I am so stoked to be back after taking the summer off this summer, which was such a gift to our family. And I'm just excited, though, and grateful to be back today. We are in this series that's called Someone. And last week, if you were here last week, or maybe you missed it, you want to catch up on the app and watch online or something like that. But last week, we were challenged to pray for someone, to choose someone, like an actual name or some someones and their names, and intentionally pray for them every day. We were challenged to set an alarm for 1 o'clock, right? And it would go off at 1 o'clock, and you pray for your one at 1. And man, I hope that you've actually like been doing this, like set the alarm and pray for someone intentionally, because it really makes a difference. And so many of us that are maybe here today or have had our lives transformed, a lot of it has been because there was someone that was praying for us. And also prayer changes us, so I really hope that you jump into that. Today we're going to be challenged together to eat with someone. Next week, invite someone, and then walk with someone, because this is a journey, right? Our lives are a journey. And the reason why we're talking about these things specifically is because they're all things that Jesus did in relationship with real people when he walked the planet, and it literally changed lives. And if you are a follower of Jesus, and I know not all of us here are, but if you are a follower of Jesus, that means that we follow his lead, right? That our heart's desire is to become people that live and look and love like Jesus did. And we all have a someone. Someone, right? Every single one of us knows someone in our lives that needs some hope right now. Someone that needs a new start. Someone that needs healing, someone that needs some real freedom, someone that feels lost and needs direction, someone that just needs to know God loves them and he's crazy about them. Maybe you've been around and you've heard the mission statement of Mission. We've said it the last couple of weeks, that this community, we exist to help people find and follow Jesus. That's like the mission of Mission, and we didn't just come up with that. Like, that's an assignment from Jesus to all of us. But you need to know that this is not like, oh yeah, this is the church's mission, like mission statement, or, you know, it's the staff's mission, or it's the pastor's mission, or this isn't like an organizational mission. No, we, all of us, we make up the church, so this is your mission, and this is my mission. But sometimes we can fall into the thinking, or at least I know I can, of more like, man, I hope people find and follow Jesus. And I hope people do. It's awesome, man, you know? And if, yes, of course, we hope people do, but that's not the assignment. That's not what we're invited into. That's not the calling. That's not the mission. The mission is that we help. That we're helping people find and follow Jesus, that we would be participants in the work that God is doing in the lives of people, that we would get this, go out of our way for others, that we would be helpful in someone's life and story. And the reason for, you know, helping people find and follow Jesus is not like, you know, we really need to pad the stats on Christianity, right? You know, we need more people checking that box that they follow Jesus. That's not it. And it's not because we need all of our friends to think and believe exactly the same way that we do. No, the reason that we help people find and follow Jesus is because of who Jesus is and what Jesus offers to anyone and to everyone, that in him there is life, and in him there is freedom, and in him there is love and acceptance and forgiveness and peace. And man, if we've experienced any of that, why wouldn't we help someone else experience that too? Now, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus, what you think about Jesus, any of that, I just really hope that you catch a glimpse of who he is and why we're so drawn to him and the life that can be found in him today. But today's challenge for all of us should be about the favorite assignment you've ever heard in church, because it's simply to eat. That's it, you know? That's the assignment. Anybody here like food? I thought this would be a really, anyone here love food? You're like, no, I love food. Yeah. Because as Americans, we're really good at eating, right? We have entire TV networks devoted to eating. We have eating competitions. We eat at home. We eat in the cubicle. We eat on the run. We eat in our rooms. We eat while we're driving, right? But studies have shown that a lot of the eating that we're doing it alone and not with someone. Research also shows, these studies show that eating with people has like enormous benefits. I mean, it's crazy. Just looking at children and teenagers, if they regularly eat with their families, they experience healthier eating on into adulthood. They have a lower risk of developing eating disorders. They have less drug and alcohol use. They have a higher self-esteem, less depression, and they do better in school. Like, actually, their test scores. And that's not about the food, okay? Your Kraft mac and cheese is not doing it, okay? It is about the table, the community, the security, the sense of belonging that gets fostered around a table. There's just something about eating together. And we don't need a bunch of studies. We don't need a bunch of research to show us or to realize that there are people that are really lonely these days because we've been locked down and masked up and zoomed out. And as it gets safer, it's time to get intentional about opening up our tables or going out on a patio somewhere and meeting up with someone for dinner or for drinks or for coffee, because God built us with this need for human connection, and there's just something deep that happens when we share meals together. Henry Nouwen put it this way. He said, when we invite friends for a meal, we do much more than offer them food for their bodies. We offer friendship, fellowship, good conversation, intimacy, and closeness. When we say, hey, help yourself, take some more, don't be shy, have another glass, we offer our guests not only our food and drink, but also ourselves. And a spiritual bond grows, and we become food and drink for each other. Isn't that cool? Today, I just want to look at some, not all, but some of the tables that Jesus sat at, that he ate at, meals that he shared with people, and what we might learn from following his lead. Because part of the way that Jesus changed the world was through eating. The first thing that we see Jesus do all the time, where we can follow his lead, is eat with sinners. Jesus was always showing up at parties and getting invited to all these different places, and which makes me know that Jesus was a magnet for people, that Jesus was fun, that Jesus was joyful, that he was fun to have around, because, you know, grumpy, negative people don't usually get invited to many places to hang out, you know? And Jesus did. He was always invited. In fact, his first miracle that he performed was at a wedding feast where he turned the water into wine. You know, so he's kind of the life of the party. Everybody's like, yeah, invite Jesus, you know, get him, do that one again. That was awesome, you know. But Jesus is always sharing meals with people. And who he surrounded himself, it was amazing. He broke all kinds of social barriers of the day, by the people that he hung out with, that he ate with. In fact, he was labeled by the religious community a friend of sinners. Man, I'm glad that he is. Now, as people who just, you know, kind of scarf down our meals while we are driving, you know, with it on our knees, I don't know if we quite understand how central eating was to life back then, but eating was such a big deal in Jesus's culture. You see, eating with someone was the statement of saying that you wanted to be with them. Eating with someone was an affirmation of that person's value and dignity and worth. In fact, who you ate with indicated who you liked, who you loved, who you cared about, who you considered a part of your social class. This is why it was so outrageous to the religious leaders that Jesus just frequently ate with the lowest and most despised people of the day. And they would say, come on, if he's really from God, there is no way he'd be eating with those people. That's Jesus. Matthew was one of those people. He was a tax collector. He was a cheat. He worked for the Roman government, and they just looked down on him and used him. But he was an enemy to the Jews. They couldn't stand him because he was a sellout. Like, he wasn't accepted by anyone except for his own despised group. I mean, guys like him were really looked down on. But one day, Jesus says two life-changing words to Matthew. He looks him in the eye, and he says, hey, follow me. follow me into something more. And Matthew accepts this invitation to follow. And the first thing that Matthew does is throw a party. He's like, he opens his home. He's like, opens his table. He opens his fridge and he invites all of his friends. In fact, Matthew writes about it. And he says in Matthew chapter 9, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew. He's like, that's me. Sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guest, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees, those are the religious leaders, saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And then he added, because it's not like he was calling the religious leaders healthy, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices, for I have come to call those, not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. This is so cool. It's the first thing that Jesus does after Matthew says yes to this invitation. Jesus doesn't enroll Matthew in a class on like how to be a disciple. You know, he doesn't like say, here's your plan now to start studying the Bible and memorizing scripture. The first thing that he does is go to Matthew's house and eat. And with all of his friends that got their own reputation, and by eating with them, he was saying, y'all are accepted with me. You're welcome with me. You matter to me. You have value with me. You belong with me. I choose to hang with you. And isn't that such good news for us to know that that's what God is like? The religious people didn't get it at all. They say, you know, why does your teacher eat with such scum? I mean, I think this is where we just need to take notes for a minute, because we can fall into the same trap. And it becomes really hard to love people that you've labeled. But if we're following Jesus, that's not our place. Our place is at the table, because Jesus sat at the table with those who had been labeled. He was on a mission with his life. And the Pharisees didn't get it. And this wasn't an isolated incident, this eat with sinners. This was all the time. And they were always getting on him. And in fact, Jesus said one time, this is what you say about me, the Son of Man feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. And this was what Jesus always was getting accused of. Now, Jesus wasn't a drunk, and he wasn't a glutton, but he so frequently ate with people who were that he got accused of it. Like a lot. But he kept showing up and he kept saying yes and he kept inviting people in. And listen, it changed people's lives. Now, just a side note for all of us, because we're not the blameless Son of God. If we're going to take up this challenge, the first thing we need to digest is a really big piece of humble pie, because we're all sinners, right? Every time someone eats with you, they eat with a sinner. Every time someone eats with me, they eat with a sinner. We don't show up at tables where, you know, we got it all together and like people are now projects. No, that's not it. We just show up with the grace that we know we desperately need, and we offer it to anyone, to everyone, wherever we go. Eat with sinners, and then welcome interruptions. Jesus was great at this. When the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to a Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. That she is a sinner. They're all like, here he goes again, right? But I love to picture Jesus at this dinner. You know, he's reclined at the table. And I know that's how, you know, the tables kind of were back then. They were low to the ground. So you're kind of, you know, reclining. But I just like to think of Jesus like laid back. He's just chilling, enjoying a meal. He's laid back. He's reclined. And then in walks this woman who is not on the guest list. And she interrupts the whole thing, and not with like, oh, excuse me, can I talk to you over to the side real quick? No, it is like a huge, big display interruption. And I can't get into the whole story now. It's so cool, though. You got to read that, how Jesus responds to her and everyone in the room. But here's the deal. This, you know, immoral woman was most likely a prostitute in the process of discovering new hope for her life through Jesus. And she hears he's there, and she's not on the guest list, but she's like, you know what? I'm showing up. I got to express my gratitude. I just want to pour out my gratitude to Jesus. And she walks in, and when she sees him, she just falls at his feet, and she starts weeping and crying. She just kind of comes undone in public. And the Greek word there for cry is the word rain. I mean, her face is raining. She's sobbing. She's there. She lets her hair down. She's wiping his hair. She's making a whole big scene in public, and everybody is caught off guard. And they're like, this does not happen, should not happen. Move her out, and not Jesus. And he responds to her with such grace. He elevates her. He affirms her. He welcomes her interruption at the table. Now, I am not suggesting that anyone is going to show up at your lunch today, you know, at Sharky's and pour perfume on your feet or anything like that. But I do think sometimes we can get real comfortable with our people or in our recliners or with who's around our table. You know, and we don't welcome the interruptions of maybe a family member that you know is feeling really like an outcast right now. Or a foster child that could join our table. Someone who's trying to get back on their feet, that neighbor that's struggling, the classmate that you've seen sit alone all week. And we think, yeah, but that's not like my normal rhythm, right? That would disrupt things. That would really throw off our vibe for what we're used to, you know? That would mess up our normal Friday nights if we started doing that. Plus, the situation, if you knew them, it's messy. It is like uncomfortable. And I just want to challenge us all, myself included. Jesus welcomed interruptions. And when unexpected people showed up in his path, they were welcome at the table. It changed their lives. And then here's two words that are really good for us all when it comes to eating. Slow down. As Jesus and the disciples continue on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. So these two women, they welcome Jesus in very different ways into their home. And when it comes right down to it, Jesus tells Martha that Mary, the younger sister, the one that's sitting at Jesus' feet and hanging on his every word and listening and laughing and soaking it in and spending time with him, was the one who had chose the better thing. And that's why Martha has been getting a bad rap for like centuries. But I get Martha. I mean, you know what it's like to have company over, right? I mean, maybe for some of you, it really has been like 15 months because of all of this. And how crazy it would be if you were about to open up your home and invite some people over, have company over. That would be like threat level midnight, right? All the preparing and all the cooking and all the cleaning and all the disinfecting. I mean, for me, that's the day that I also decide we need to power wash, you know, the back patio and repaint the baseboard and organize the stuff closet and landscape the backyard. And Mike's like, why didn't we do this for the last 8 months? I'm like, I don't know. But tonight, the night, because company is coming. You know that feeling, right? Just wanting to be a good host, to be hospitable, you know, to treat your guest to a nice meal. And for Martha, we got to give her a break. Jesus was coming over. I mean, she's got to be just so involved in all of these details. I can just envision her welcoming them all into the foyer. And she's like, okay, you place your sandals right here. Anybody need a drink? Anybody need anything? Okay, good. Boom. Back in the kitchen. Because she's like, hello, this meal is not going to fix itself. And my sister is not helping at all. The key word is that Martha was distracted. And it wasn't distracted by anything bad. It was actually good that was keeping her distracted. But listen, if we are going to be people that get intentional about eating with someone, about sharing a meal, because we know that means sharing our lives, getting to know each other, really getting to be there for one another. Listen, being present is better than being perfect. Now, you can cook all day, you know, if that's your jam, or, you know, put the thing in the smoker all day if that's your thing, or make, you know, homemade napkin holders. I don't care. I just want you to know also, pizza and paper plates work too. You know, that's the thing. But whatever it is, when we get together with someone, when we have time with other people, slow down and put down your phone and get this. Listen, that's a great thing to do. When you're eating with someone, listen, ask questions, laugh, hear their story. Don't get distracted by all the, you know, crayon on the wall that you didn't get to. It doesn't matter. Slow down and be present, which leads to the next thing here, which is be real. Be real. Luke 11, Jesus was speaking, as he was speaking, and one of the Pharisees invited him home for a meal. So he went in and he took his place at the table. His host was amazed to see that he sat down to eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony required by Jewish custom. The Lord said to him, "You Pharisees are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and wickedness." So Jesus is like always calling out the religious people, right? This is just how he is. So if you don't know Jesus, you got to love that about him, right? He's always calling out the religious people. And there's so much that he goes on to say that I can't get into. But for the sake of just seeing this table conversation, Jesus walks into this party and he doesn't go through the ceremonial cleaning stuff. They're like, dude, you got to get cleaned up. You didn't even, you know, wash your hands. You didn't get ceremonially clean. And so they're kind of disgusted by that. And Jesus is looking at them shocked, going, man, y'all are just really good at making yourselves look good. And you're never looking at the inside of you. You're never looking at how filthy that is, how you're not living this out, how you're not caring for other people, how you're greedy. I mean, Jesus is like, you're just making it look good, and that's so important to you. And I think this is important to us because whatever table we're at, whoever we're sitting with, we need to be real. We don't need to spend all of our time and energy just trying to look good or get ourselves really cleaned up, you know, first, or think that we got to know all the answers or have it all together or that everything's like a, you know, a shiny Instagram reel. People don't need that. People need you to be real. We got to be people that are creating tables where it's safe to come with real stuff and real vulnerability. We need safe places to shed shame and fear and to confess things that we haven't shared with anybody. We need to be able to look across the table from one another and say, me too. You've got doubts? Me too. You got temptation? Me too. You lose your patience with your kids? Me too. You're scared? Me too. And I just love to be here with you in it. I'd love to help in any way that I can. I'd love to tell you what God's doing in my life. Just be real. And then for some of us, we need to reach out. Luke 19, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short. I know, man, it's hard, okay? So he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran and climbed to a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus, and he called him by name, Zacchaeus. He said, "Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus home to his house in great excitement and joy, but the people were displeased. "He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Anybody see a pattern here with Jesus? This is Jesus. But Jesus does go to Zacchaeus' house that day, and Zacchaeus' life is completely changed. And get this, a lot of other people's lives are changed too, because Zacchaeus has such a radical transformation that he takes his wealth and he starts getting really generous with it. And other people's lives are changed all because Jesus noticed him, he saw him, he called him by name, and he says, "You know what? We gotta have lunch today, man. I gotta hang out with you today." And I just think there are so many someones in our lives that are so curious and leaning in. They're kind of just out on a limb. They're just getting a little glimpse of Jesus. You know, just wanna look. Don't wanna go all in, but just wanna glimpse of what is this? What is this hope that you've got in your life? What is this all about? But they may never, ever invite you over or invite you out or ever walk up to your lunch table. But we can be people who notice, who reach out and say, what is your name again? You want to grab lunch? Can I sit with you? You know what? We'd love to have you all over. Or, you know, if we're really following Jesus' example, we just say, we invite ourselves over to their house. We're like, hey, coming over today, you know? But listen, you may be thinking, like, I don't have time to do this. Jesus, you know, our nights of the week, and then we have soccer practice, we have all these things that we're doing. I don't have time to eat with people. I really am eating while I'm driving and all of these things. And so we think we don't have time to do this, to be intentional. Listen, how many times a day do you eat? It's not a trick question. How many times a day do you eat? Three, right? Most of us? 21 times a week we find a way to eat. What if just one or two of those we found someone to eat with? Let's be people that notice. People that don't wait for an invitation, but instead we reach out and we say, man, I just got to get together with you. I got to get around a table with you. You never know what God might do. I really do believe that there is power at a table where love and belonging are served as the main course. And I really believe that if we did some of these things the way that Jesus did, we could change the world, or at least someone's world, just by eating. And wouldn't it be awesome if places like, you know, In-N-Out and Sharky's and Chipotle and our backyards and our patios and the lobby of our dorms or the park at a picnic or our kitchen tables became places, man, where people are connecting and they're eating together and they're sharing life and they're laughing and they're crying and they're being real and they're finding hope. That's the picture of life around the table with Jesus. You know, Jesus was a carpenter. He probably made all kinds of stuff. I don't know all that he made, houses, ladders, chairs. I'm sure he made some tables. But ultimately, he went to a cross to create a table that we all get invited to. It's this bloodstained table where we all have an invitation to come and pull up a chair and sit as a family of God, as children of God. And that invitation to that table, to his table, man, it applies to you today, to every single one of us, no matter who you are or what you've done. I hope you see that about Jesus. He invites you to the table. He wants to meet you right where you're at. You can bring it all to the table. Your doubts, your fears, your shame, your labels, your insecurity, your past, you can bring it all. The invitation is for every one of us, and you are welcome at the table. We're actually going to spend a few moments today around this table, remembering his sacrifice that paid for our place, for our seat at this table. He was at a Last Supper with his friends around a table the night before that Jesus was crucified, that he took some bread. He said, this represents my body that's going to be broken for you. And he took some wine. He said, this represents my blood that's going to be poured out for you so that you have a way to be in relationship with me and with God. And when you get around a table together, remember me. Remember that sacrifice. And so we're going to do that today by taking communion together, a little cracker and some juice. If you want to participate and you didn't get communion on your way in, just throw up your hand. Somebody will come around and get that to you. If you're watching online, this would be a great time to get out your juice and crackers or whatever you've got. But during this next song, you could just remain seated and just reflect. Take the bread and take the juice and just thank God for the price that was paid for us to have an invitation at the table. Jesus, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you so much for loving us, for saving us, for moving towards us, that we can just see so clearly your heart for people and for us, and the way that you love, and the way that you chose to hang out with those that no one else would. God, thank you for your acceptance. Thank you for your grace, and let us be people, now that go extend that same grace, offer that same hope to someone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.